Let's start reading tonight in verse number 26 of chapter number 1 of the book of Luke. The Bible said, "And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God into a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women." Turn to chapter 2 and verse 14. I'll read verse 13 as well. I'll read verse 12 as well. "And this shall be a sign unto you, you shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." I'm going to pray in just a moment. I want to preach tonight on this subject, the Christmas story. And I want to give it kind of a subtitle, The Glory in the Story. I hope it'll be a blessing to you tonight. Father, thank you tonight for your people. Thank you for your presence. Thank you, God, for the young people that gathered tonight. The two, Lord, this was their first time. The two young ladies, I pray, God, your blessings upon their life. I pray, Lord, for those that don't yet know you, God, that they'll come to know you soon. I pray, Lord, now that you'll lead and guide in the message tonight, I pray, Lord, you'd make this preacher a blessing to his precious people. God, many are not here tonight because they're not able. And Lord, some are here, not here tonight because they chose not to be here. But God, you give us a message tonight for those that are here. I pray, Lord, that we would hear it and be blessed by it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. The first thing I want to call your attention to tonight, I read in this verse here where the Bible said, "Hail, thou art highly favored." Highly favored. I believe there's glory to be had in the favor of our Lord. I want to give you a couple of things, a couple of verses of Scripture tonight just to kind of show you where my heart is headed. Mary, thank God, the Bible said was a virgin. We believe that, don't we? Amen. Actually, I'm not fussing about the terminology, but actually the miracle was in the conception. Amen. And then that baby developed in that womb. Amen. And that baby came forth. And thank God Jesus was not just born as some said of a young woman, but he was born of a virgin. It was a miraculous conception. But thank God he could find a woman that was highly favored. And you know, I got to thinking this afternoon. I got to thinking about certain people. Amen. And I know none of us are perfect. But I thank God for the young people that are doing it right. That can court and fall in love and get married the way the Bible teaches that God will bless it. Say amen. I know there's lots of times when I talk about the other side of that coin. But God said, thank God for the favor. Amen. There are some young people that want to do the right thing. Amen. And want God's blessing on their life. And Mary was one of those. And Joseph was one of those. When you look at favor, the first time it's mentioned in the Word of God was talking about Abraham. When those angels visited him there in the tent door. And he said, my Lord, he's talking to the angels. If I have found favor in thy sight, pass not away, I pray thee, from thy servant. Listen to me. Sometimes, beloved, the favor, it might be, say, well, it was the angels, favor in their sight. But you understand, beloved, listen, if we find favor, it's because there's a God that showed us favor. Amen? And the Bible said in Genesis chapter 39, think about Joseph. But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. I had just printed this verse out, just a few verses when I read Coulter's letter, and he's saying, pray that God would give me favor. How many believes God can do that, and God wants to do that? I believe God will do that. He put those men in his heart, amen, and it may take a year, it may take 2 years, it may take 3 years. I don't know what it'll take. Some have stayed in countries like India for years before revival broke out, amen, but I believe Brother Coulter will stay with the stuff.
and God will show him favor. He showed Joseph favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And then in Ruth chapter number 2, she said, "Let me find favor in thy sight." Ruth is in that field with Boaz. Glory to God. Aren't you glad you found favor in the field of our heavenly Boaz, of the Lord Jesus Christ, that he smiled on us and gave favor, amen, in our lives in the sight of God. I thought about Samuel, 1 Samuel 2, verse 26, "And the child Samuel grew on and was in favor both with the Lord and also men." Listen, we take that for granted sometimes. But I'm glad, thank God, listen, in the Christmas story, there's glory in the story when you think about a God that smiled on you and smiled on me, and we found favor in the eyes of God. Amen. I could have grew up in a Muslim country and been taught that the Quran was the book. But I'm glad I grew up in America and was taught the Word of God is the book. Amen. And the Son of God is the Savior. I found favor in the eyes of God. Nehemiah chapter number 2. "And I said unto the king, if it please the king, and if thy servant have found favor in thy sight, that thou wouldest send me unto Judah, unto the city of my father's sepulchres, that I may build it." Honey, you can't read the book of Nehemiah. Oh, Nehemiah even said it out loud. He said, "The hand of my God." No, he didn't. He said, "The good hand of my God was upon me." Beloved, he understood that he was accomplishing something for the glory of God because he had found favor in the sight of the Lord. Amen. Oh, beloved, sometimes we might think we're accomplishing something. I'm reminded of what Jesus said. He said, "Without me, you can do nothing." I thank God tonight, beloved, that he has given us favor in his sight. In the book of Esther, you remember, beloved Queen Esther, the Bible said, "And the king loved Esther above all the women, and she obtained grace and favor in his sight." Yeah, it wasn't just because she was somebody, but beloved, it was because her God was working in the shadows. Amen. It was because Mordecai and a bunch of men that loved God was out there praying. And God brought deliverance through this one woman that found favor in the sight of the king. Actually, if you read it just right, you'd understand she found favor in the sight of two kings. One of them was an earthly king, and the other one was a heavenly king. And I thank God tonight that we can find favor. The Bible said in Psalm chapter 5, "For thou, Lord, wilt bless the righteous. With favor wilt thou compass him as with a shield." That's good, ain't it, Brother Chris? He was talking about that fence tonight. God will put a fence or a hedge about us. He'll put us a shield about us, amen, when we find favor. The Bible said his anger endureth but a moment, and his favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. I'm going to tell you, beloved, we've buried some loved ones, and it ain't going to be long, and we'll see them again. Because, beloved, we've found favor in the sight of God. Amen. There's glory in the story, just the Christmas story alone. God said there's plenty of glory in this story. Whoso findeth a wife, how about shouted right there, amen, findeth a good thing and obtaineth favor of the Lord. There's something else, old Colter don't know it yet, but in God's time, in the fullness of time, I believe God will send him a wife. Amen. I know that's his desire. He wants a helpmeet. He wants somebody, a companion in this world. And I thank my God, beloved, the Bible said, "Whoso findeth a wife, findeth a good thing." My grandpa said, if God made anything any better than a woman, he kept it for himself. I believe that's about right. Amen. He got to preaching another time. He said, "I'll tell you one thing, praise God." He said, "Ain't nothing on God's green earth any better than a good woman." Then he stopped and said, "Ain't nothing no worse than a bad one." I believe he knew something, buddy, about life. Amen. But the Bible said, if you find a wife, you found a good thing and you found favor in the eyes of the Lord. Amen. A good name is rather to be chosen than great riches. I thought about my daddy and loving favor rather than silver and gold. Daddy told me when I was a teenager, he said, "Son, we ain't got much." He said, "Probably never will have much, but we've got a good name. Oh, thank God tonight. You say, Pastor, why do you have a good name? I'll tell you why. Listen, why do you have a testimony? It's the grace of God. I haven't ruined my testimony. Because sometimes, beloved, like my grandfather told a man one time, he said, you go ahead and hit me. He said, I'll turn your nose up, and the next time it rains, you'll drown. There's been some times, beloved, when I would wanted to get in that flesh, and all I would have done was lost the testimony that God has given me. But God, let us find favor. The angel said unto her, fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. 12 years old, it was so evident there in the temple that, beloved, there was something different about this young man. Say amen. He had something on him, beloved, that nobody had ever seen before. The wisdom, it blew their minds. And then the Bible said in Acts chapter 2 and verse 47, they were praising God. This is the early church, and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Well, that's enough for that first point in the 9-point message. Some of you look like you wasn't praying, so I thought I'd get you to pray. And amen. I'm serious. There's 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. That ain't bad. Amen. I asked you already if you was in a hurry. Amen. Beloved, listen. We ought to shout tonight. It's Christmas. Think about the glory in the story. Mary's not the only one that was favored. Highly favored. Yes, she was highly favored. Thank God Mary's not to be worshipped. Amen. The Savior that she brought into this world, she's the one that's to be worshipped. Now the second thing I want to give you tonight, I want you to turn in your Bibles, if you will, to Luke chapter 1 and verse number 37. Well, let me read a few verses here. The Bible said, you found favor with God in verse 30. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son. Thou shalt call his name. I love this. All caps. Jesus. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, she didn't say if this, she just wanted to know how. Amen. She said, how shall this thing be? Let me find my place here. There it is. Seeing I know not a man. Listen, verse 35. And the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. I was in a funeral, I guess last night. I lose track of time. And there's a fellow reading out of another Bible. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son. Honey, I'm telling you right, it's sad when you can't even get John 3:16 right. Amen. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. It doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that we will be like him, and when we shall see him, we'll be like him, for we'll see him as he is. Oh, beloved friend, Jesus is God's only begotten Son. Can't even get John 3:16 right. Help us, Lord. The Bible said here, he'll be called the Son of God. Watch this. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. Look at verse 37. Here's the next point in the message. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. You say, Pastor, not only should we glory in God's favor, but secondly, we ought to glory in God's ability. You know what he's able to do? Exceeding, abundantly, above all that we can ask or even think, according to the power that worketh in us. Amen. Unto him be glory in the church. I'm telling you, beloved, listen. He said here with God. Listen, it might be impossible with men. I got to thinking about my oldest daughter. And beloved, I'm telling you, humanly speaking, it looks like it's beyond hope. But the Holy Ghost spoke to my heart and said, with God, it's not beyond hope. With God, nothing is impossible. Amen. I'm telling you, whatever it is that you're praying about, you might say, well, Pastor, I don't know if it can be turned around or not. I'm going to ask you this. Is God still on the throne? Are they still breathing? I want you to know God can turn it around. Amen. And Mary, listen, didn't have any problem believing that with God. There's glory in that story. When you look at God's ability, amen. With God, nothing shall be impossible. Listen to me. In Daniel chapter 4 and verse 37, now Nebuchadnezzar praise and extol and honor the King of heaven. He said, I, Nebuchadnezzar, I missed that. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, all whose works are truth and his ways judgment. Watch this now. And those that walk in pride. You say, Pastor, I don't know if old so-and-so ever be saved. They're so full of their self. They're so full of pride. How many in here was full of yourself before you got saved? How many in here was full of pride before you got saved? I want you to know God is saying, beloved, He's able, the Word of God said, those that walk in pride, He's able to abase. Oh, Nebuchadnezzar, when he got through crawling out there in the field and his nails grew out like eagle's claws, amen. He got through eating that grass. He changed his mind about Daniel's God. And beloved, he understood, listen, that the God of Babylon wasn't going to get the job done. But the God of heaven could make a difference in his life. He's full of pride. And listen, beloved, I thank my God, listen, that God is able to knock our pride out of us. And God is able to help us to come to a place in our life where we'll put our trust in Him. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 21, who shall change our vile body, that it might be fashioned like unto His glorious body, according to the working whereby He is able. Oh, beloved friend, listen to me. The average Baptist acts like he ain't able to do nothing. But according to the Word of God, according to the Christmas story, with God, all things are possible. Amen. And God can make the difference. Amen. He's able even to subdue all things unto Himself. 2 Timothy 1:12. For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I'm not ashamed, for I know whom I believed. Anybody know that tonight? You know who you believed and am persuaded? Hallelujah. You say, Pastor, you're so arrogant. You say you're going to heaven and you know it. Oh, no, I'm not arrogant. I'm not bragging on me. I'm bragging on the one that said he's able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. I'm not able, Brother Gary, to keep it, but I'm a-going because it's committed to the one that is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. Glory in the story. Hebrews 2:18. For in that he himself has suffered being tempted. You know what God's able to do? He's able to succor. He's able to come alongside. He's able to comfort those that need to be comforted. He's able, beloved, listen, to help those that are in trouble. Help those that are in any trial and tribulation. He's able to help those that are being tempted. He's able to secure them that are tempted. Hebrews 7:25, wherefore he is able, look at this, glory to God, to save to the uttermost. I'm not changing the Bible, but I heard an old preacher years ago say something that I liked. He said, from the guttermost to the uttermost, my God is able to save them. Amen. They might be in the gutter. They might have tattoos all over them. They might have 49 holes above their shoulders. But I serve a God that's able to put that hole back together that's in their heart. Many preachers are worried about these holes. They need to be worried about that hole that's been left in their heart. Amen. He's able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by Him, seeing He ever liveth to make intercession for them. Number three. Are you ready? Let's look here with me at number three. Let's go down to Luke chapter number 1 and verse 41. I'm talking about glory in the story. I see God's glory in His favor. I see God's glory in His ability. But I see God's glory in the excitement. You say, Pastor, where did you get that? Look at verse 39. Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste. Brother Steve, I don't believe Mary was dragging her feet when she was going to see Cousin Elizabeth. You? She had just heard from heaven. And honey, she wanted to get on over there and tell Cousin what was going on. Amen. I say, Pastor, what do you mean? Look, watch this now. And she entered into the house of Zacharias and saluted Elizabeth. And it came to pass when Elizabeth heard the salutation. Watch this now. You say, what's the salutation? Mary just repeated what the angel had told her. That this virgin had found favor in the eyes of God. And that a virgin was going to conceive and bear a son. His name was going to be Jesus, and he's going to be called the Son of God. Watch what happened. The Word of God said, when she heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb. I wonder, beloved, listen, where are the leaping Baptists today? Glory to God, there was excitement. John hadn't even been born yet, and he was excited that the King was coming. The Son of God was going to be born. There's going to be deliverance to Israel and the people that would put their trust in him. There was an excitement, beloved. Listen to me. Turn with me to 2 Samuel, please, quickly. 2 Samuel chapter number 6. I appreciate the Lord, don't you? Glory in his favor. Glory in his ability. And then glory in the excitement. I want you to see this tonight. Now listen. Listen to me. Have you ever heard somebody say, well, we don't need to get all worked up. I'm going to show you a couple of examples in the Bible. Beloved, I'm going to tell you something right now. I don't believe in flesh worship. The Bible said they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And by the way, if you'll read your Bible, Elizabeth, the babe leaped because she was filled with the Holy Ghost. Read your Bible right there. That wasn't flesh. That wasn't something Elizabeth could work up. But I tell you, that was something John down on the inside appreciated. Amen. I remember when a Charity was born. The first two youngins, Amanda and Jeremy, I didn't go in back there in that birthing room. But them second two youngins, I'd been saved, Brother Chris. And I wanted to go back there with my wife. Amen. And I went back there, and Charity was born. Charity's coming in tonight. Amen. I can't wait to see them after a while. But listen, I spoke. That baby come out of that womb, and I spoke. And that baby was... And that nurse said, she knows his voice. My wife said, she ought to know it. She's been listening to it for 6 months. My wife's a preacher. Amen. Now for 9 months. I don't know when the hearing develops. Amen. But she's been, my husband's a preacher, and she's been listening to that voice. I'm going to tell you something right now. Don't you feel sorry for people that don't understand that that's not just a basketball, but there's a baby in there? Say amen. Don't you feel sorry for people that don't understand that John the Baptist, beloved, leaped in his mother's womb? Jeremiah was called of God in his mother's womb. Oh, hallelujah. The excitement. Watch this now. 2 Samuel chapter 6, we're going to start reading in verse 11. I want you to go home and read it all. We're going to start reading tonight in verse 11. This is that story when the ark was being moved. And they made them a new cart. By the way, there's a whole lot of churches made them a new cart, Brother Jim. They're trying a new way, a newfound way. We don't need songbooks anymore. Let's do 7-11 music. 7 words, 11 times. Put it on the wall. Let's get us some drums. Amen. An electric guitar. It sounds like a rock concert on the outside. I'm telling you tonight, beloved, listen. We don't need a new card. God said, seek out the old path. And when you find it, walk therein. Here they are. Old Uzzah reached out there and touched that ark. He steadied it. He thought he was doing the right thing. I believe he had good intentions, Brother Steve. But it wasn't supposed to be on a cart. It was supposed to be being carried with staves. And beloved, I'll tell you, God killed him instantly on the spot. You know what would do the church good today? Just a few Ananias and Sapphira's and Uzzah's. I'm telling you, beloved, there's too many people in the church house today playing games with God. We better be glad God's merciful. Amen. Watch this now. Verse 11. I'm going to get a drink of water. And the ark of the Lord continued in the house of Obed-Edom, the Gittite, 3 months. And the Lord blessed Obed-Edom and all his household. Something happened, Brother Steve. David got tired of them blessings being over yonder. He wanted them up. Boy, oh boy, listen to me, right? Boy, something good right there. You know what do us good? It'd be getting tired of them blessings being over yonder and wanting some of them at our house. Amen. Watch what the Bible said. And it was told King David, saying, the Lord hath blessed the house of Obed-Edom and all that pertaineth unto him because of the ark of God. So David went and brought up the ark of God from the house of Obed-Edom into the city of David with gladness. What was in the ark? The table of stones, the tables of stone. The Ten Commandments was in the ark. There was a pot of manna in the ark. And then Aaron's rod that budded was in the ark. You can find that over in the book of Hebrews. I read it today, and thank God I was able to remember those three things because I forgot to write it down. Amen. But those three things were in the ark of the covenant. And the Bible said, and it was so that when they bear the ark of the Lord, they that bear the ark of the Lord had gone 6 paces, he sacrificed oxen and fatlings. And the word of God said, and David danced before the Lord with all his might. And David was girded with a linen ephod. So David and all the house of Israel brought up the ark of the Lord with, what's that next word? With shouting. You say, Pastor, what do you mean? Excitement. They brought it up with shouting. I'm telling you, beloved, this was not some kind of unholy dance. This dance brought shame in David's life. He was dancing before the Lord. He was excited. The ark's coming home. Amen. And the blessings of God are not just going to be over yonder, but they're going to be here where we live in Jerusalem. Amen. He was excited about it. The Bible said here, so David and all the house of Israel brought up the ark of the Lord with shouting and with the sound of a trumpet. Beloved, as the ark of the Lord came into the city of David, Michal, Saul's daughter, looked through a window and saw King David leaping and dancing before the Lord, and she despised him. Let me tell you something right now. You get plugged in and you worship God, I'm going to tell you, you get excited about the things of God. I'm telling you, beloved, everybody ain't going to like it. Somebody will despise it. I'm going to tell you this, beloved, God let her be barren until the day she died because, beloved, she made fun of the things of God. Amen. And God's people, beloved, we ought to be excited about the things of God. Brother Junior, we should never need to hold up a sign to the choir that says excitement. We ought to be excited about the songs of Zion. We ought to be excited about the Word of God. We ought to be excited about the fellowship with God's people. We ought to be excited to put in our tithes and offerings. That's why the Bible said God loves a cheerful giver. That word means hilarious, don't it, Brother Steve? Glory to God. Amen. I'm telling you, beloved, tonight there was excitement in the birth of Jesus. The babe leaped. Let me give you one more right quick, and I'm going to quit. You say, why are you going to quit, preacher? Because I'm out of gas. And because I believe God's done. I believe we can pick it up Sunday morning, don't you? You think you can come back a little bit more excited Sunday morning? About 11 o'clock, Christmas Day. Hey, glory in the story. Amen. Watch this now. I know one thing. If God adds to these 6 more points between now and Sunday, we won't get done Sunday either. Amen. It's good. Amen. Watch this with me. Go with me to Acts chapter number 3. Acts chapter number 3, would you please? Some of you know where I'm going. But Acts chapter number 3. Miss Eve, you all right over there? She about had a spell a while ago when I talked about that baby for 6 months. She said, I knew that baby was older than that when it come out of there. Amen. 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 Watch this. Acts chapter number 3. How many's there? Say amen. Let's start reading in verse number 1. Now Peter and John went up together. You know what we need here at Bible Way? We need God's people going up together. Lord, let's guard that. A lot of people misquote Jesus. They'll say, where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I in the midst of them. They leave out a word. The word's together. He said, where two or three are gathered together. I don't know about you. When I read Brother Coulter's letter tonight, Brother Steve, look it up sometime, see how many miles it is between us and him. But I felt like we was together, didn't you, Brother Steve? Let me tell you something about God's people being together. You can be in the same room and not be together. But you can have 1,000 miles between you and somebody else. Somebody can be on the other side. Brother, you told us about the man in India tonight. On the other side of the world. And be together. Hallelujah. Brother Chris was telling us about the cancer. That lump that come up on his neck. And how God led him to pray. And that while he was praying, his phone sent him a notification that he had an email. And that there was a guy in India that he didn't even know said, I'm praying for you. And God wanted me to tell you, it'll be all right. Hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. I'd rather have God's people praying for me than all the gold that's in Fort Knox. Watch this. Now Peter and John went up together into the temple. Let me see if I can read a little while. Sound like Brother Coulter trying to read my scripture that night. Into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily. They had to lay him at the gate, the temple which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them which entered into the temple. Who seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, he asked an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, I believe this got his attention. Boy, look at us. Look on us. Watch what the Bible said. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Ha, he got more than he expected, didn't he? Watch this now. Then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. I'm still talking about excitement. Where I got off on these two tangents, so to speak, the babe leaped in his mother's womb. And David leaped and danced before the Lord concerning the things of God. But watch this. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up. And immediately his feet and his ankle bones received strength. And he took his good old time. How many remembers that thing? Boop, that jack in the box. Honey, I believe he looked like a jack in the box. God touched him. He jumped straight up. Hallelujah. The word of God said he leaping up stood and walked and entered with them into the temple. Aren't you glad, thank God, when somebody knows God's touched them, they're not going away from the temple. Hallelujah. They're going in with the others that are going in. I'm telling you, there's a problem in people's hearts that don't want to be in the house of God. He was delivered, and he was excited about it. He now wants to go the same way Peter's going and the same way John's going. Because they're taking him not away from Jesus, but toward the Lord Jesus Christ. I'll tell you something, beloved. I wouldn't sit under preaching that I thought was taking me away from Jesus. I'd get out from under and get somewhere where they're taking me towards the Master. Say amen. I wouldn't sit under teaching that I thought was taking me away from Jesus. I'd get me somebody to teach me the Word of God that was pointing me to Him. Not to them, but to Him. Not to the church, but to the Founder, the Lord Jesus, the one that said, upon this rock, I will build my church. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Watch this now. And all the people, wait a minute. I didn't read it all. He leaping up stood. He walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping. I don't know what that looks like, Brother Steve. Is it skipping maybe? I mean, Brother Mays Jackson, it's a good time to say this, talking about excitement. Brother Mays Jackson said, I'm going to wait on some of you dead-headed Baptists just inside the gate. And he said, when you come through the gate and you kick them heels up and shout, glory! He said, I'm going to say, I told you, is that good all along when you wouldn't listen? Amen. I don't know what this man, I don't know what that leaping looks like, Sister Tanita, but honey, everybody else knew he was leaping. And he wasn't just leaping, he was saying something. He was praising God. Amen. I believe he was so full of God he couldn't stand it. Amen. And he was excited. Not only do we need to be excited like David about the things of God, but we need to be excited like this lame man about the deliverance of God. Has God delivered you? Has he delivered you from your sin? Has he delivered you from death, hell, and the grave? We ought to be excited about that. Watch what he said here. The people saw him walking and praising God. And they knew that it was he that sat at alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. Miss Eve, I can't remember who I told, but just recently I told the story about Baltimore when we went up there to visit. We're spending time with her mother in Baltimore. There's a church just around the corner from her mother that split out of the church that I was took to church on a bus. And my Sunday school teacher was one that come out. The pastor was guilty of some things and he wanted to stay and so they left. The bus driver was there. The Sunday school teacher that I grew up under was there. And so when I went into the church that morning, you know what they were filled with? Wonder and amazement. You say, Pastor, why? Because that little boy, that little snotty-nosed boy, is now God's man. He's preaching the Word of God. He's pastoring a church. And Brother Steve, they were just filled with wonder and amazement. Well, they got with the pastor. The pastor was from Knoxville, Tennessee. And the pastor, during the message that morning, he said, I want Brother Vinoy to come and give his testimony. Brother Steve, going backwards now, at 4 o'clock that morning, God woke me up, I mean wide awake, and gave me a message from the Scripture. I said, God, why are you doing that? I mean, we're up here visiting. That man let me testify. I watched my time on purpose, maybe 5 to 7 minutes. I testified of the grace of God in my life. I sat down, the pastor said, listen to me. He said this. He said, we're going to sing one more song and take up an offering. And Brother Vinoy don't know it, but he's coming to preach this morning. I said, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. Amen. The gun was loaded. Amen. And so I got up and preached that morning. Listen, it's the only time in my life that I've seen my mother-in-law under Holy Ghost conviction. You want to know why? I believe she was filled with wonder and amazement of what God had done in this man's life, what God had done in that woman's life, what God had done in our family's life. I tell you, I stood that morning and gave God the glory for what he was doing in our lives. Here they are. They're filled with wonder. They're filled with amazement. And I tell you, beloved, there was an excitement because of the deliverance that God had granted. They were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. And as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John All the people ran together unto them in the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering. He's holding on to him, ain't he, Brother Steve? You boys ain't going nowhere without me. You was there when it got started, and I want to go with you. Kind of sounds like that maniac, don't it? He wanted to go with Jesus, and Jesus said, no, go home. Tell thy friends how great things the Lord hath done for thee. I'm telling you, beloved, tonight, there's glory in the story. I hope between now and Sunday you'll go home and get that Bible out. We'll be some in Matthew and some back in Luke. And we're going to look at some more glory in this story, the story of the birth of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. How many is glad you're saved tonight? I've had people say, Pastor, you act like you're excited. There's a problem with that statement. I'm not acting. I am excited. I get down sometimes. How many here gets down sometimes? But I'm going to tell you something right now. When God rubs my nose in that book and God begins, Brother Steve, to figure around my heart, I can't stay down. I got to get up. I got to go tell somebody else the story of the birth, the life, the death, the resurrection, the ascension, and the coming again of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's stand together.